I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues. I've got Robin, I've got Mark, with myself, Matt, talking Bills news with a UK twist. And gentlemen, that was a sloppy win, but good teams find ways to win, and we're 6-1 going into week nine.
It was a psychologically examining win, I would say. I think there was a lot of stuff going on that we may get to. I think it was a game of two halves.
To quote an old football player.
Yes.
It was a really weird game, wasn't it? At no point ever in the game did I feel like we weren't going to win the game.
Yeah. Mm.
It was very much, I thought we were dominant, but a sloppy, Matt, is exactly the word that I used on Twitter this morning. It was uncharacteristic. It felt like it was 2019 Josh playing for a little bit of that second half. And against better teams, if we play like that, we'll get found out. We can't. Mm. I'd like to think that we wouldn't against teams that it felt like were going to give us more of a game. Because I wonder if that level of complacency had almost set into the locker room as well. But yes, I think we can all agree. Second half was absolute crap, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think I just looking, I mean, obviously you're looking at this. We talked about it in the preview that obviously this Packers secondary was strong, and it showed. They actually managed to hold Josh, I think, altogether about just over 220 odd yards.
218.
Good against the pass, not so good against the run.
And obviously that screwed me over in my little bet. I had the Josh Allen over 300 yards, total touchdowns, and over 30 yards. So he screwed me over on that one. So this time he is an above average quarterback.
I was also equally annoyed when we're sat there at 27-17 and we've got the ball late in the fourth quarter, and I'm thinking my prediction of 34-17 is looking pretty damn good here.
Yeah.
All we need is one more touchdown, and let's go and chuck it to them again. Brilliant. All right, cool.
Yeah.
I think we talk about the secondary, and I think that they were okay, but second half, that was problems of our own making. That was throws. Like the two interceptions were awful. That was nothing to do with the secondary being great, in my opinion. That was just, they were just bad throws. Yes, and some of the plays that where drives broke down, a lot of that was totally of our own making. So we had the Josh Allen missing open receivers. We had the stupid one play by Gabe Davis where he charged into the back of whoever it was, the guy that was Jair Alexander, who has been the chippy one all day, that cost us a clear first down, then that drive broke down two plays later. Things like that, you know, when we're playing potentially someone like the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, should we get there? If we do shit like that, we'll lose.
Yeah.
I can't help thinking that it just comes back to, we were that good in the first half, aside from obviously that opening three and out. I think the game was basically over at halftime. It was 24-7 at halftime. And I don't even know what the Packers were even thinking about what to do in the second half. I just don't think they had any kind of belief. I just think that they were basically beat. And they knew it.
And you could see that in the way that the coach spoke to the broadcasting crew afterwards. It wasn't even we're still in this. This was a, look, let's just go and try and win the second half. And win or lose, let's just put in a good effort.
I hope everyone enjoys themselves and they come home, get home safe. And it's a lovely, lovely place you got here. I think they were just broken because it was a very, very good team playing very well against what we now, I think, we're fairly safe to say, is not a very good team in the Packers. And I think that they just thought, because normally what you'd expect, you're down three scores, you've still got Aaron Rodgers, he's going to come out firing, go down in flames, make a few deep shots. You know, he's going to go out and he'll probably get picked a couple of times, but hey. But they just came out and they ran the ball. And I think the Bills just probably thought, all right, well, if you're gonna run the ball, we'll just make sure you can't throw a deep ball against us. So you're going to chew up 5-6 minutes on your drives. You get two possessions a quarter, which is basically what they ended up getting. One of them got a touchdown. One of them was a field goal. One of them was a field goal and a touchdown and a missed field goal. And I just think that they didn't know what to do. And I think because the Bills were just locked into that thing, I almost don't think Josh Allen knew what to do, almost. I just think he was just like, I'm supposed to be playing Aaron Rodgers. This is supposed to be, you know, the wise old owl or the lion in winter against the young cub, and it's the passing of the torch. And I'm beating up a bitter, strange old man, and it's over by half time. I kind of don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't need to fight in this game. Because there was one where he threw the pick in the red zone. He was clear. He could have just gone down on his knees, and he just decided just to throw it away, and he threw it straight at a receiver. I just almost think that there was nothing there in the pack. We never looked like we were going to lose, and it's just people just lost their minds.
Yeah, I think it's narrative. I think that we everyone always said we couldn't win that those close games, which obviously we've proved people wrong on that one. But I just think it's once we go that far ahead, like as you say, we were 24-7 up at half time, why we just can't continue, and why we have to almost like, I don't know, regress a little bit and try and let the opposition come back in. Because, okay, it's the Packers, all they wanted to do was just run. And to be fair, they had a good run of it. Obviously, Aaron Jones get 143 yards. But the fact that with that, you just need to see how to see out a game and actually just go for the juggernaut. The more and more you put points on, then you can start playing conservative. Because I think we went, after the first three and out, we went, five straight drives with the scoring drives. And then after that, it was punt, interception, field goal, interception, punt, and all that. I think it's something that needs to be hammered home. Because if we play the Chiefs, if we play even the Ravens, hell, if we play the Eagles, they'll find a way, if we play like we had in the second half against the Packers, to actually overturn that, in essence, what was a 21-point lead at halftime.
It feels like it's become the opposite problem that it was in the start of the season, right? So when we were playing our early games, we were starting slow. We were letting teams stay in games, and then we were blowing them away in the second half. And then kind of more recently, we've started against the Steelers. Obviously, we were 31-3 up at halftime, and that game was over. So they took their foot off the gas completely. But it feels like since then, I feel like we haven't managed to put an entire four quarters together in one game yet. And some of that we've been, you know, an element of that will be that we were, you know, we've blown teams away massively in the second half. So it's fine, but we started off slowly. We've let teams in it. In this game, it was the opposite way around. So we started off so quickly. We were looked like we're miles ahead, but then we completely take our foot off the gas. And it's, I'd rather like put your foot on the neck even more to properly see them away, because that kind of sloppiness, do that too often and it leads to inconsistencies. And that, when we're playing against really, really good sides, we just can't have.
Yeah. I think it shows. I mean, yeah, they would. And even after the Packers, they lost, obviously, Quay Walker being disqualified. They had injuries at linebacker core, obviously, injured a wide receiver. And yet, in that second half, I say we only really put up 3 points, and
3 points.
We almost abandoned Singletary again, because he was averaging about 8.8 and a half yards per carry in that first half.
Yeah,
and then they just went back and abandoned that. Then used Cook a little bit more, and then Allen on the runs. And I'm just thinking, you get somewhere. You've got a run game going. You've got that pin and pull run game going. It's getting you results. What goes in the head of McDermott and Dorsey to say, okay, it's working. Fuck it. Let's go somewhere else. Let's change it up. Stick with what you know and see what's actually working against this team. And then bang, off we go.
Especially when you know that that's their weakness, right? It's like, you know, we know that their secondary is good. Yeah. Number one against the pass in the league. Admittedly, that's because of some of the teams that they've played. And I get it. And if you know that you're so bad at running, teams are going to run on you. So it helps your passing stats. So it kind of is a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. But they were, you know, this season they've been awful against the run. And we saw that with Singletary's performance in the first half. It felt weird that we abandoned it so early, especially when Josh wasn't playing well.
Yeah. I think you're looking at the way we're going with it. It's one of those narratives that we've got to get right. As you said, we've got to put together four perfect quarters, especially heading now into the home stretch. Nearly when we're going into the playoffs, you want to have everything tied up and everything all nicely, neatly packaged, so you can just roll it out like the Patriots game last year, roll it out into a perfect game and build that momentum. And obviously, when it gets to the right point and wherever we end up, most likely the wild card, the divisional game, to give it a go and have that momentum in there.
It's still some way off, isn't it? I mean, what are they? They're 6-1 at the moment. There's still 10 more regular season games to go. It almost seemed like to me, apart from the general chippy nature of the game as well, and you mentioned Jair Alexander there, and I don't know if they were at all rattled either in the game, but I wonder if they were just because I liked the throws they were trying to Kirk and they were to James Kirk, and they brought him in with the running game as well. I don't know if they were just like, maybe they were just experimenting with something. They knew that the game was won, because it really just felt that way to me, that they were almost just killing time, and they were just letting it run out. I absolutely agree, because one more score, that first turn of possession at the start of the second half, when you're three scores up and in that kind of 24-7, if they don't make an immediate score and you do, then the game truly is over. And it just sort of limped along until the fourth quarter, and there wasn't that proper sort of step on the head. But like you say, they've never really been a step on the head sort of team. They've been to get two, three scores up and then just manage it. Don't get injured. Don't do anything silly. And that just seems to be their sort of philosophy.
And I can understand that if you're halfway through the fourth quarter, because we've been doing that against teams, and we're doing that very near the end of the game. Here, this was first half. And, you know, and then early third quarter, the entire second half was rubbish. And you know, as someone correctly pointed out to me on Twitter earlier on, you know, it's if you're, say you've played rubbish and you're still winning against the Packers by 10 points, that's not a bad problem to have. But it's in comparison to the standards that we've set ourselves this season and where we want to end up, we can't be having second halves like that.
Yeah, I think just looking at it, as you say, it's the saying, good teams find a way to win, and yeah, we found a way to win. Okay, it was very, very, very sloppy and laden with mistakes, but we found that way to win. But we need to just work a little bit. They need to work a little bit harder on that training, in the training and practices, to really make sure that we don't have to win a sloppy game like that and actually go.
It's almost that game in reverse.
Way almost.
It's almost that game in reverse, though, isn't it? We had the game won, And then we played sloppy, wiping our feet, getting to the, you know, getting to the exit, whatever the metaphor is. It's a rubbish metaphor. It's almost in reverse. It's not like, say, look at the, you know, Miami all high-fiving each other and running into the end zone because they managed to come back from two scores down against the Lions and beat them 31-27. That's your sort of finding a way to win and proving you're a slightly above average side. This is the Bills with three scores up on a not very good team, and they just sort of scuffed
and they hung on.
Yes. Yeah, it's more like hanging on rather than taking them off, isn't it? It's not. I don't think it's quite finding the way to win. It's almost how do you manage the game in the second half when you're clearly the better team without you know, just slamming the door. It's more like, I suppose, slamming the door shut, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. It didn't feel like... I can't believe that those guys in the locker room have come away with much... much fuzzy, warm feeling in their guts about that performance. Because yeah, you like, and I understand the sentiment from Josh in the locker room afterwards, where he said they all count the same. Mm. But there can't be much. I think you come away from that win that you take that's overly positive, really. But there's also this weird, strange bit of me that wonders actually if it's not the worst thing. Because if we're getting complacent, if we're winning games by blowing teams away every week, which we could have done against Green Bay, had we played, in the second half, forget as we did in the first, you know, that could have been a match prediction kind of scoreline, and probably should have been. But if we're doing that on the games that it isn't going so well, at least you've had this experience, and you know that isn't something you want to get into again. So maybe it keeps them humble a little bit more than they were.
It's still good, yeah, and it absolutely gives McDermott something to shout at them about over the next couple of weeks and gives them something to pick up. And, you know, Josh Allen, he very rarely makes the same mistake twice, doesn't he? You know, he had those sort of hero ball issues. He had the can he handle the blitz issues. He handled the, you know, the designed runs. And now he's got another problem to solve, which is, how do you just manage the game to the end and don't lose your head, but maybe pick out that extra pass, or maybe make that slightly more conservative decision. And you don't want to be maybe beating teams by 50 points in week 8. Maybe you do want to be, you know, getting hot at the right time as well.
I think it was this stage, like last year or the year before, where was it last year we had the Jacksonville trap game? This sort of week.
Around about, I think that was week 9. I'm sure someone will correct us. I think
around about this sort of time. Yeah.
8 or 9. And we went from about 6-2 to sort of 7-5, didn't we?
Obviously you're looking at that game with Jacksonville when we did lose, and then see what happened afterwards, the run we went on and teams we beat then. And I could kind of see your point on the way you're thinking about that, Mark, about the fact that you've got a game where, let's say, we were sloppy, we were a bit lackadaisical, we were a bit silly rather than playing simple on there. But if you look at the resemblance to the Jags game where it was a complete shit show and what we came on, maybe it is, as you say, a kick up the arse.
Yeah, I hope it is. I hope they use it as that, and that's kind of the takeaway from it, because that makes it positive. If the mentality, I'm sure it won't be, but if the mentality is, oh, you know, win, good job, lad, then, yeah, not so good. But I'm sure that conversation will be taking place behind the scenes.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've talked a bit about the negative. Obviously, the run game, the stopping of the run was a bit, but it is what it is. But what positives can we actually bring out of that game? There's got to be some. There are some positives, which for me was that run game in that first half.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah. Apart from that, I couldn't really see anything else too much about it. I think...
I think the way the defense played in the first half was quite impressive. Again, the way that we were getting to Rodgers, I thought that looked pretty good. I kind of agree though. Offensively, you know, Diggs had a decent game, but he also abandoned throwing it to anybody else. No one else had more than two catches in the whole game.
It was just
sloppy. It wasn't particularly from where I thought it was going to be after the first half, when you were like, yeah, if you continue on that trajectory, it's going to be great. But then it just kind of, all the joy all got sucked out of it in the second half a little bit.
I think I got another bright spot on there, and it is obviously it sticks with the running game. Obviously, Devin Singletary, he is now de facto number one. There shouldn't be any running back by committee stuff on there. But James Cook, I think after that first couple of weeks where he had the fumble and he actually got sat and taken out of the game, he's come back and looked quite good, and he's shown some good movement.
He could be a very useful pass catching running back, which is basically what we drafted him for, wasn't it? To be that pass catching running back, and yeah, a bit of a tough start for him. It doesn't get much tougher than fumbling your first carry, does it? But yes, I think he's had a good turn. I think if you want to go for individuals, I mean, I don't want to be too hard about looking for positives. You normally look for positives if you're a bad team, don't you? And we're a good team, so yeah. I think what I would look for is, I liked Hamlin. Damar Hamlin was pretty good. You worry a little bit about Poyer, because it's probably not a coincidence that Poyer goes out of the game and suddenly Rodgers is suddenly finding his throwing arm again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you sort of think that maybe it's a sort of, you know, correlation, causation. No one throws against Poyer because Poyer's on the field, so you don't throw against him, and then they throw against him because he's not there, all that kind of thing. Yeah, you wonder what they're going to do at the trade. But I like Kirk. I like Hamlin. It's already been said, but worth repeating. I thought Milano was, I mean, in terms of dollar value,
he just needs to learn how to catch a ball.
Productivity. You've got to have like the highest return per dollar investment, whatever you want to call it. It's whatever money he's on is just an insane bargain, isn't it?
I think someone said that. He could be on about 6-7 interceptions this season if he could actually learn to catch the ball.
I thought what you were going to say is that there are players much, much worse than him that get paid considerably more.
Yeah.
I think that one interception that just hit the floor it's harsh to say he needs to learn to catch, because that was bloody difficult to get to.
Yeah.
But I agree. I love, like, Milano in the last couple of games has just been everywhere, which has been great. It was the same against the Chiefs. Tremaine Edmonds, 13 tackles in this game as well, which was, he was all over the place. And I thought that was double
the next guy, wasn't it?
Yeah. And amazing. And a lot of that, I get it, is down to the fact that they ran the ball through the middle a lot, and they were getting past the defensive line too easily. He was the guy that was there, but he did make a lot of important tackles when that was clearly their plan of attack. Just, it always seems very odd that you come away from a game where the Packers are three scores down late in the third quarter, and they are like having 8-9 straight running plays. Just,
it's bizarre,
that's the state of that franchise at the moment.
Aaron Rodgers was 74 yards after three quarters passing.
Yeah.
I think the one other thing that I think there was a real good wow moment in that game yesterday. It was Von Miller.
Oh, the fourth and one.
Yeah, when he actually got underneath Bakhtiari. Was he the left guard, the right guard of that one? And actually shoved him so far back, collapsed the whole of the offensive line, stop Aaron Jones.
Yeah,
on that run, I think you're thinking that is what, 240-pound linebacker against a 310-pound. Offensive lineman, and he just literally just manhandled them and shoved them back into his own teammates.
Yeah, I don't care what you say, Matt, he's good.
Yeah.
Hey, I love Von Miller.
it's just our standard go-to, isn't it?
I don't care what Matt said.
Let your hatred go, Matt, please.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's not worth it.
The man is producing. Come on.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll sit. Oh, no. But then again, if you do that, I mean, I've got to be, I'm high on Greg Russo. Yeah. Although when we drafted them, I wasn't so high.
Got another sack, didn't they?
Yeah, but, that guy's playing well.
Yeah. Ed Oliver's playing well, and he's above average guy.
He looks properly 100% now as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And that's another silly mistake. His big sack that got called back for a hold or something like that.
In
the second half, and just things like that. Just, you know, I'm almost every play now that we're doing something good, I'm like waiting for this fucking like bit of the screen at the bottom to go yellow because you're like, oh, the flag or the play. Oh, Jesus Christ, what have we done now? And the Gabe Davis one really, really hacked me off.
Yeah.
It's just silly. You know, it's just silly. It's the only, if that's how they think they've got a chance to beat us by getting under the skin of the receivers, don't let it work.
Mm. Yeah.
Just point at the scoreboard. Point at the scoreboard. That's all you need to do.
Do you see the when Diggs? I mean, my highlight, there's one or two. I'm gonna pick this one for my highlight. Diggs gets the touchdown. And then gets tackled by Alexander, which I'm amazed they didn't throw a flag for that because he was in the end zone and Alexander goes and they go rolling over. And then Davis and McKenzie grab Diggs as if he was like coming out of a bar fight, going, he's not worth it, mate. He's not worth it. They go grab him and pull him away because you know Diggs is going to go. He's going to go for him.
I thought that was Russell Douglas.
That's what you need in a team, mate.
Yeah.
I thought it was Russell Douglas that chucked him over.
Oh, was it Douglas? Sorry, beg your pardon.
I think so. Because apparently,
I remember the replay. It was McKenzie and Davis that picked Diggs up because it looked like that could have got a bit nasty. And they
apparently the Packers fans are going on Twitter saying, "Oh, Jair Alexander, when he faced Diggs, he had no receptions, no touchdowns, no yards, and all that." The fact is, they must have been scared of him because they barely put Alexander on him. Diggs. Yeah. So that
and it's all well and good. Diggs still had 108 yards and a touchdown, so you hardly kept him quiet.
Exactly.
That's an example of taking the positives. That's a bad team holding on to a fairly irrelevant stat there as some sort of, you know, big league.
I think that this, like, for me, this game felt like it was one that we should have won comfortably. We did win comfortably. We didn't look particularly pretty in doing it, but we've got the win. Let's move on to the Jets.
Yeah.
And I think
pray for Poya. And
Milano apparently is suffering.
Oh, oblique, isn't it?
Yeah.
You wonder if they might bring in a safety at the trade deadline, maybe.
I think that's the.
They've got basically a day. So they better get a move on.
I don't even know who's out there. I wouldn't be qualified, but maybe they like Johnson and Hamlin. I don't know.
Should we be talking about Alvin Kamara?
I don't. As much as I want him, I don't. I think what Saints wanted for him, I just don't. I don't think.
Well, surely they'll want too much than being.
They'll want at least a first, maybe a second round. A first and second round, whether it be first in this year and a second next year, or first and second this year, they'll want too much. It's a pipe dream. It's good that the Bills acquired, and we know McDermott and Bean will turn every stone over to try and improve it. But I think the way we go. Well, where we actually run and then decide to abandon the run game, I think it would just be, it'd be a waste of those picks to go for a running back like a Barkley, Kamara, where they may, in the second half, just completely go away from the run and you spent out all that money on a guy that's only going to play like the first half and maybe the odd play here and there in the second.
I think that following on from the McCaffrey trade, I think anyone trying to trade away a running back for a first round pick, as considering McCaffrey couldn't get a first round pick in his trade, I think that set the value. And I think it would be similar, kind of like a second, third and fifth and then something next year or something the year following. I don't think there'll be any first rounder. And if they've asked for that, I can see completely why we've turned it down.
Mm. So I think tomorrow, well, whenever you listen to this, Tuesday, the 1st of November, will be a big day for it. And if we do hear any trade news and any signings. We're going to get on to this. We're going to go on to Paul Nash.
The emergency podcast when Alvin Kamara signs, having just said we probably won't. 4 p.m. 4 p.m. Eastern, isn't it? So 8 p.m. because of the
Yeah.
What's going back?
I think, we've gone over. We've said that there were negatives as well as positives in there. And they at the end of the day, we're 6-1. We've got what? A game lead?
A game and a half, isn't it? Because the Titans and Chiefs are 5-2, aren't they? We have a tiebreak over both of them. So
yeah. So a game and a half over there. Obviously we've got two games over the Jets
and Dolphins.
Yeah.
Jets the next game, but
it'll be three games after Sunday.
Let's hope so. Remember the Jets.
But yeah. I think it's just as Josh says, it's 1-0.
Yep.
We start 1-0
for the week, yeah.
And I think that's really the attitude they've got to do. And one little bit of good news is they reactivated Trey White to the 53.
Oh God.
Yep.
We had to mention that, didn't we? Yes.
Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit more about that on the Jets preview show later on this week. But I think if there's anything else you want to add, let's get it in there.
Josh, high-fiving the people in the front row after you got pushed out off the side of the... was just, that's our quarterback, isn't it? Like, even when he just gets, makes his run, gets pushed out, and then just goes alongside, that's our guy.
I love how he gets up after a big hit in the first quarter. He gets up, he's laughing. Just laughing at him. I love it. Him and Ken Dorsey are made of they're made of similar stuff, aren't they? Right. I love that.
You can see why you recommended him, didn't they?
That's good, Josh. Stick with that one.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna leave it on the note of Jordan Phillips.
Oh yes.
Jordan Phillips, Aaron Jones. Walk in. Take that.
Yeah,
down on the floor you go, like a bitch. But apart from that, I think we're 6-1. Week 9 coming up.
On to the Jets.
Let's go get it. So obviously follow us on the socials. Follow us UK_Bills. Follow us on our personals at RWBB_podcast. You know the drill. Continue to like, subscribe, follow, spread the word. Obviously, this Sunday, Fitzrover Bell is back for the 6 p.m. game. We'll be back for all 6 and 9:25 games, which I think is the rest of the season. So get down there, meet other Bills fans, enjoy the atmosphere. And for Mark, Robin, this is Matt saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening, and let's go Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, Bills.
Yeah, not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. 1, 2, 3.